Hey everybody out there in internet land, this is Wes Gardner, and you're on a very special episode of the Power Hour, and guess what? I got someone with me this time.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
Yeah! Randy Savage come back from the dead, oh yeah! They mess with fell magics, and now my skeleton is sitting here in Wes's living room.
It's like the
yeah.
It's like the dragon mod for Skyrim.
Why would you let me die? Oh, yeah.
Leave me alone. But, yeah, Mark Bradshaw.
Hey, kids, what's up?
Yeah, on this, we're doing a Wrasslecast. I'm thinking about actually calling it a Wrasslecast.
Wrasslecasting, yeah.
Yeah, Wrasslecast. Yeah. And, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, two sad men who still watch wrestling.
Adult men.
Yeah. If our loved ones are listening to this, or people who had, like, better aspirations for us in our life, I apologize so profusely for never growing out of this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know about you, but I did for a while.
Yeah.
And then I came back. You know, I just came crawling back.
I was always into it because I grew up with, like, the old NWA before it became, like, WCW.
Oh, right.
I don't remember if you're old enough to remember any of that.
A little territory stuff, yeah. I was born in Oklahoma, so it was, Mid-South, or was it Mid-South? No, Mid-South was Georgia, because I lived in Georgia for a while, too.
Yeah, there was Mid-South. That was the Jim Crockett promotions.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you probably would have got, like, a bunch of, like, Texas promotions and stuff your way. So, yeah, I've always been, like, really interested in it. It's, like, waxing, waning as time goes by. There's that really sad period that WWF had back when they're still the WWF, like, between, like, Hogan. Like, after Hogan left and before he became with the WCW, it's just really sad and depressing, so I didn't pay attention to it then. I didn't really pay attention to much WWF stuff at all until recently.
It's same here.
Sort of had to because, like, they were the only guys left.
Yeah. So. And, I mean, and TNA's out there, but
TNA's depressing because it's the same issue I had with, like, WCW back when they got Hogan. Like, you're watching it, and it's just, like, a bunch of old, like, WWF, like, the retirement league.
Yes.
WWF hanging out. And he's, like, you see guys you like Austin Aries and Bobby Roode.
Yes.
And, like, AJ Styles. And, like, they're not going anywhere because they're stuck behind, like, Sting. Like, I loved Sting back in the day, but that was, like, 30 freaking years ago.
Right, exactly. And it's, like, and what's so upsetting is that they got kind of the Ring of Honor dream team over at TNA. And some of the best wrestlers on the planet, like, probably the two best guys from Ring of Honor went to WWE with CM Punk and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
But then literally Samoa Joe, Austin Aries, Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, like, you go down the list and you're like, Jesus, like, there's nothing but talent there, and they don't know how to use them.
The sad part is, like, they had an amazing set right there. They just, like, built around that set. They probably wouldn't make as much money right away as, like, okay, we're bringing Hogan because he's a name.
Yeah,
I can understand. Fine. But they this very short-sighted thing. But now, like, AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, they know they're stuck, so they don't give a shit anymore. And
exactly.
You can tell in their product.
And right now, there's this terrible storyline going on. I don't know if you've followed it at all, but it's Aces and Eights.
Yeah, it's like a homeless version of, like, the NWO.
Exactly. And what's even worse about it is how people talked about the NWO got too big and the NWO, like, okay, literally everybody was in a version of the NWO, so what was the point?
Yeah.
Literally, they're at that point with Aces and Eights where they beat every single person on the roster, and the only person left on the roster they didn't beat was Bubba Ray. But guess what? Bubba Ray's the leader of Aces.
Yeah, well, with you. I had sex with Brooke Hogan, and now she really regrets that. Isn't that kind of skeevy, though? I mean, that's just
so
bad. Okay, it's fake in a sense, a storyline.
Sure.
But still, he gets married to this chick, and of course they have sex. And now it turns out that he was lying to her the whole time.
Right.
So you're like, this is really disgusting. It doesn't feel right.
And they wrote themselves into a hole because literally everyone from Aces and Eights already beat everybody else on the roster. So who stops Aces and Eights? Nobody.
Nobody, so, unless you, like, bring in somebody. And that's never going to happen. They're going to be somebody new.
No, who are they going to push? Ric Flair?
Well, that was the thing about the NWO. It's like, at the end of it, it's like, oh my, here comes this Goldberg dude. Nobody can stop him. And Goldberg, like, takes out Hogan. It's like, that everything falls apart. Like, you're never going to get that guy.
Exactly.
And unless like, WWF just finally, like, well, we go in and get rid of Orton because we don't have anything to do with him. And, like, they pick him up.
That's kidding. Or, what hell, what if Goldberg starts wrestling again?
I don't think we want that because he killed people when he was, like,
knew
what he was doing.
He gave DDP a concussion.
He ended Bret Hart's career.
Ugh. sucks. No,
it's not hyperbole. He ended Bret Hart's career.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Ugh. But yeah, this episode is dedicated all to WrestleMania, which happened this past Sunday, and then the Raw immediately following it on Monday night.
Way, way more interesting than the actual
WrestleMania. Yeah, it was. And because there was a lot on, and I had my predictions up on the Power Hour show page, and I got like 60% of them right. Okay. I think, which was not bad, but I wish I got the ones that I got wrong. I wish I got them right, and we'll probably get into that.
Okay. So let's just go ahead and down the list if you got your predictions up.
Yeah, sure. Right. Let's see. I put – oh, go ahead.
Well, I just like – before we get started, I did the thing that really – I hate to be internet smart guy. Look, I love Cesaro, but, you know, I love Cesaro.
He's so good.
Yeah, and he's not – nowhere near.
He's another Ring of Honor guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was a Chikara. I don't know if you ever watched Chikara shows.
I really want to, because isn't that where did El Generico do Chikara stuff, or was he strictly?
He was all around that. Like, if there was an indie promotion, Generico was doing it. Same way with Cesaro, but most of the dudes are, because I mean, they aren't going to turn a paycheck.
Oh, sure, of course. And I mean, they still have themselves to prove. So
yeah. So, but like most of them, like if you like mainly like a ROH guy or a CZW or Chikara guy, but you know, if they call you up and say, hey, you go, why don't you come do this show, they're going to do it.
Oh,
it's like Kevin Steen's been doing like some Chikara stuff, and that has been great.
I heard he dropped the belt this past week, actually, which is kind of stunning.
He did. He's held it for a while though, so again,
I think it was to one of the Briscoe brothers, which is
it was actually. Which I thought the WWE, like, signed them or something?
I think so, and then I think they gave them the middle finger. Like, I think the Briscoes are like, fuck you guys, we don't have any teeth, and we're just going to come over here.
That's so sad, because you think it made sense, because Vince has a hard-on for, like, hillbillies.
Yeah,
it really does. For, like, tag teams, and, like, this is just a bunch of unwashed, crack-headed hillbillies.
Man.
It's so so fucking great that the little guy gets on the second rope and does the shuffle.
And it's like tag team wrestling is kind of back in WWE, and you need this generation's version of like Mosh and Thrasher.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. They just be a couple meth-headed Moth and Thrasher.
Be great. And they're super fucking talented. Like those guys are probably the best tag team on the planet right now.
Yeah.
Like, they're so good. But yeah, we got the predictions up right here, and I think the first match, it was the pregame show with the Intercontinental Champion Wade Barrett versus The Miz.
And What was your prediction?
My prediction, I put that I respect Wade Barrett a lot because he pushes guys like Bo Dallas, and then I put like I see the match not lasting long and Wade Barrett retaining, and then right after that, I put I put hopefully God help us if Miz wins via his crappy figure four leg lock. And guess what happened? Miz won with his crappy figure four leg lock.
Now I would say though he had a very good variation that I've never seen before where he just broke into the figure four out of nowhere.
That turn into it was pretty good. And it was actually a figure four. Like Miz is kind of bad about it's kind of how The Rock does the sharpshooter, like put quotes around it. Because he just kind of does a leg bendy thing
and just holds on and say, hey, this really hurts, doesn't it?
Right, yeah.
Don't get me wrong, that probably hurts like a bitch, but that's beside the point.
It ain't the sharpshooter. Yeah, but
the thing that gets me about the way Miz does this though, it's like, okay, he inherited it from Ric Flair. What he didn't inherit from Ric Flair is actually doing anything at all before hitting the sharpshooter. Because at least Rick would like chop block you or something. He'd like kick you in the leg or something.
Yeah, he'd work your ankle. I mean, because Ric Flair is a master. People give him shit all the time, but he's so good at in-ring kind of psychology that he'll go for your knee, and then he'll go for your ankle while you're limping around. Then he'll go for your other leg to kind of soften that one up and then hit it, you know? Yeah. And then you buy it. You're like, okay, I would tap to that too if my legs were fucked up.
And it was great because as soon as you can see him, like, he started attacking the legs. So, oh, shit, here comes the figure four. He's done for now.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, with submission finishers, like now they just break it out.
It's Alberto Del Rio is a perfect example. He just hits his arm bar and you're done, and you're like, come on, man, what, you didn't even work the shoulder, you didn't do anything.
There's something. It's Swagger with the ankle lock. It's like he just okay, yeah, the ankle looks like it would hurt. Don't get me wrong. Right. I would scream like a little girl, but I'm not a professional wrestler. I do something.
Yeah.
Do something. Anyway.
But Miz won the pregame show. That kind of, in my opinion, that sort of set the tone for the whole show because I was like, well, great.
Yeah. It should be noted that Wade won the Intercontinental title back immediately following
after. Which is great. I think that's awesome because, I mean, he was a good Intercontinental champion. Like, I bought the fact that Wade Barrett had a belt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The other problem is, like, he and Cesaro have the same problem. Like, they have, like, the mid-card belts, but they lose constantly.
Right.
They lose in, like, non-title matches. So it's like, this is the opposite of what you guys should be doing. Like, he should be a monster. Like, he should be, obviously, if you hold this thing, you should be obviously next in line.
Right. Yeah. And the next match actually got cut from WrestleMania.
Yeah. That's a bunch of shit.
Oh, man. I was so upset.
I guess we need more P. Diddy.
Is oh, my God. That went on for too long, and we'll get to the Brock Lesnar Triple H fight, but Jesus. Yeah. But yeah, like, Brodus Clay and Lord Tensai with the Funkadactyls versus Team Rhodes Scholars and with the Bella Twins. My prediction was that Team Rhodes Scholars and the Bellas would take it, but I think on Raw, they did their set. Like, they did what they were going to do at WrestleMania.
Don't know if that was the full... It seemed really compact. I think, like, it was, like, less than 6 minutes.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that even at WrestleMania, that Tons of Funk would have won, because it's the feel good match. Like, and that's the big problem with this entire card here. There was no feel good match.
I agree.
You know, it's just except for the Fend, which we'll go into later. But it's just like it was all kind of grim, especially in like the last three matches.
Just stacked on top of one another.
Yeah, and you could see it, and you could see it in the crowd's reaction. They hated it.
Yeah, it's just the pacing was bad. But yeah, I mean, and honestly. I'm not the biggest Brodus Clay fan, but I love Albert or Lord Tensai or whatever. So I like to see them be entertaining because if they get crowd support, then they sell t-shirts and then they stay a team. And I'm like,
I can respect what Brodus does, which is he's a big goofy dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's never going to be that killer that you'd expect. Sure. He's a big dude. He likes to make people happy. Okay, fine. I can respect that. And, like, everyone on, like, Team Road Scholars, they're all great. Mm-hmm. I think Cody deserves better than what he's doing going through.
I agree.
But, you know, there's nothing in there that's not inherently entertaining.
Right, exactly. Like, whenever it's on TV, I don't really want to change the channel because I'm like, I don't want to see what they do.
So. Like, there was this one great spot where Tensai had, like, was strung out over, like, the second rope, like, in Team Road Scholar's corner. And the Bella Twins, like, they got on either side of him and gave him, like, just smashed his head in with their butts.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before. That looks painful as hell. Also kind of hot, but that was hilarious.
Right. And I'll tell you what, man, the Bellas and the Funkadactyls have this awesome chemistry. Like, I don't know what it is, but they just maul one another.
Yeah.
And you're like, God, this is more violent than half the shit we see from the, like, big time guys. Yeah. You know, like, head drags and, like, ripping hair out. And I'm like, God, they're really going at it.
Chicks don't care. They'll kill you.
Anyway. So good. But yeah, next match I had a prediction for was Chris Jericho versus Fandango.
Well, that wasn't the next match. The next match was The Shield.
Oh, yeah. I think I put them in the order that the website had them, but then they did the whole show out of order. But yeah, we'll do The Shield versus Big Show.
Okay.
Shield versus Big Show, Randy Orton. I predicted that the Shield ones. And then the reason why I thought they should win is it could put them up in the rankings for the tag team championships.
Which really they should have been doing to begin with.
I agree.
Like, this is like the fourth time they've had this random there's not a superstar on the roster that they haven't defeated at this point. Mm-hmm. And now they just, here's three other dudes. It's like, like, these three dudes are a worse team than the last three dudes you had. Because at least the last team had Cena, and no one is allowed to defeat Cena.
And apparently on Main Event tonight, it's The Shield versus Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, great.
And Brodus Clay and Lord Tensai. And I'm like, yeah, why not?
Pretty sure The Shield's going to win that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say on Raw, though, and I mean, at WrestleMania, The Shield, of course, won. But I will say on Raw, they pivoted something that got me very interested.
Yes.
Is because, you know, I was expecting Taker, after his match at WrestleMania, to be gone for another year. Be like, see you guys, I made my one appearance, peace.
Yeah.
But then, as The Shield comes and ambushes some people, Kane, Daniel Bryan, and Undertaker all, like, all rush. Or Taker was already out, But Kane and Daniel Bryan, and I was like, okay, this six-man tag, I would watch.
Now, there's an initial little, like, they probably didn't mean for this to happen, but, like, The Shield has been destroying, like, these random superstar teams. So what Kane's done, he brought his two established tag team partners out there, and these guys will defeat The Shield because they're actually a team.
Yeah, and they're really good. Like, because...
Let's be frank. They're not going to allow The Shield to have a win over The Undertaker, even in a tag match.
Yeah, ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is lately. Over this past year, I mean, I'm probably still bitter from last WrestleMania where Sheamus kicked in Daniel Bryan's head.
Yeah.
But he has just been a soul-sucking energy vacuum.
Yeah.
That him and Randy Orton both, they'll come out and they will kill any buzz in a room.
Yeah, they will. And like you'd see that on Raw the next night, the crowd just completely turned on them.
Right.
And it's happened because they haven't moved at all. It's like they've been doing this exact same thing, like Texan and character for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they're basically like different versions of John Cena. Like Orton is evil Cena and Sheamus is like goofy Cena.
Yeah, Irish Cena and says arse and fella.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's that version of Cena and then evil Cena. And it's like, they do the same damn things. They can't lose.
Right. Oh man. Let's see. What was the next match?
Let's see here. According to Wikipedia, the next match was, Mark Henry versus the Ryback.
Versus the Ryback. My prediction was Mark Henry won, and it actually happened that way.
Yes.
Which is awesome because I love Mark Henry.
Yeah, in a really weird way. Because Mark Henry, okay, he wins. Like he uses his veteran wiles and his enormous weight to defeat the Ryback, right?
Yeah.
But it immediately, like, Ryback just kicks his ass.
Yep, Ryback picks him up twice.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, all right. I mean, but to be fair, that's probably why half those people went to go see Ryback is, can he pick up Mark Henry?
Yeah, okay, like, yeah. I guess that's settled.
Yep, but, I guess he can.
But that's kind of like the big problem. Like, no one got over. It's like Mark Henry defeated the Ryback. Goes, okay, that makes sense. How Mark Henry, maybe he's going to be a big, like, he's just going to start killing people in the main event again, as Mark Henry should be. But no, he like, gets shown to be a punk by Ryback, but Ryback just got beat. Right. So, like, nothing happened. What was the point?
It was so bad. And the way they handled Mark Henry on Raw the next night just kind of pissed me off.
Yeah.
Because they're like, okay, if you beat John Cena, then you can have a title shot. It's like, well, why can't he have a title shot right now?
Yeah, like, okay, he defeats John Cena. That's yeah.
And then, of course, he lost.
Yeah.
Right? He lost John Cena. So yeah, now he can't have a title. Like, ugh.
Yeah, but of course, like, he lost by count out. So it's like, oh, well, they could have a real match later. Yeah. That's probably going to be probably some kind of bullshit three-way.
Yeah, so. Three-way with Ryback and Mark Henry. But, I mean, to give Ryback credit, he was vaulted in this position of being some sort of headlining monster.
Yeah.
Well before he was ready.
Well, you think he's ready, but he's been around for a long while.
Yeah, he was in NXT, and he was, what was his name before? Skip Sheffield?
He was Skip Sheffield. He was actually kind of cool with Skip Sheffield.
And, he's a monster.
Yeah, I remember him. I remember because like he wore like just like this vest and these trunks and just like covered in spikes. And, like he was like this like mentally challenged like cowboy as like you say yep and like that's great, that's a personality. It's but Ryback is like RVD on steroids.
Yeah, literally. I think that's exactly how they wanted to. You know, how they wanted to promote him. And I think I think for some reason WWE still loves the idea of Goldberg and they want their own.
They've tried this for a long while. I don't remember if you, Mason, was it Ryan Mason? Mason Ryan?
Mason Riley?
It's some big, huge Welsh dude that came in like a couple years ago.
Right.
And like he had no personality at all. Like he is just enormous, like the biggest human being you've ever seen in your entire life. Just enormous, and actually kind of talented, but had no personality, no charisma. Fans hate him. There was Ezekiel Jackson.
Yeah, I remember Ezekiel.
Yeah, they tried this exact same thing, but like the fans just rejected him because Ezekiel's idea of like a big spot was like picking a guy up three times in a row and just keep slamming him. It's like,
right. I think Ezekiel's working some indie stuff now.
He probably is. He probably didn't get good life and didn't get like good benefits or draw very well in WWE, so he's probably has to do something.
Let's see. And what's the next match on the?
The next one was Team Hell No versus Ziggler, Big E Ziggler.
Big E Ziggler, that what?
Ziggy?
Ziggy?
Yeah.
I guess so. And I, of course, picked Team Hell No because my love of Daniel Bryan knows no bounds.
Also, it would make literally zero sense for Dolph Ziggler to hold the Money in the Bank thing and like the
tag team belts. But I also thought it was kind of nice because this is a good way not only to let Daniel Bryan get redemption after last year's WrestleMania to, you know, keep a belt and win it and, you know, just get a good solid victory at WrestleMania, but also it's kind of a thank you because I think Team Hell No brought tag team wrestling back in a few ways. And it's really weird that it would just be two singles guys that would come and make tag team better, you know.
Well, two singles guys, you know, they're they're talented. And, you know, they have really good personalities. It's like they have charisma to them. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you can get away with that. The thing is, the neat thing is, like, you're talking about Daniel Bryan. He lost in like 18 seconds to Sheamus last year.
Right.
Well, now you take a look at what Daniel Bryan's been doing for the past year. He's like, he feuded against Punk for the longest time. Mm-hmm. He's been doing this incredible tag team stuff with Kane. And, like, basically, like, main evented, like, one pay-per-view
right.
On his own. He's just been at the top of the card. And, like, on Raw, he was in there with The Undertaker.
Yeah, exactly. Which,
like,
is
showed as the equal of The Undertaker and Kane.
Which is wicked. Like, yeah. And they need to keep him vaulted like that. So whenever Team Hell No splits, yeah, it'll be a sad day, but it's going to happen. Yeah. Whenever Team Hell No splits, I do want to see Daniel Bryan back, not only on the World Heavyweight Championship card, because I think him and Dolph Ziggler would have a great rivalry.
Yeah, that'd be great, yeah.
In singles, but he goes after the WWE belt whenever they give it back to CM Punk. Like, we've seen that before, but I want to see it again, because that's how good it was.
It might be a long while before they give it back to Punk, though.
Yeah, which is upsetting.
Yeah.
Let's see, what was the next match? Was it Bartolo Del Rio versus Jack Swagger?
The next one was Fandango defeating Chris Jericho.
Which I was still kind of at a loss on how Fandango won. Like,
by a bullshit roll up.
Honestly, it looked like an accident. Like, it looked like a little fast count, and then they both kind of looked stunned at the ref, like, oh, I guess the match is over.
No, that was supposed to happen. What wasn't supposed to happen was Chris Jericho's like the lion salt into Rhode Island. That he attempted.
Right.
I remember, he like landed nowhere near Fandango. I think that the ending was supposed to be like he at least lands on Fandango, and like Fandango gets his knees up and then rolls up or whatever.
Yeah.
But Chris Jericho like screwed up and realized he's got to like figure out a ending on the fly.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because it was just kind of it was a pretty decent little match. And I mean,
it was good because, I mean, like, Chris Jericho is capable of doing that with anybody, though.
Yeah. And I mean, but Johnny Curtis, you know, Fandango, he's very, very good. And the fact that he's a singles guy and that he's going to be on TV a lot more, he's going to, I hope he doesn't fall into the Zack Ryder syndrome, because Zack Ryder has a ton of ability and a ton of talent, but he can never show it because he's never given a card.
Well, yeah, the thing that Zack Ryder did wrong was he got over by himself.
Yeah.
He wasn't happy with his spot or whatever that creative had for him. So, once he, like, got over by himself, creative's like, well, we don't know what the hell to do with him. Let's make him John Cena's best friend. And that never works out well.
Yeah, you never survive that. And then I think creative always has a weird vendetta. If they didn't put you there, then you don't deserve to be there or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. But like in this case, like Fandango is getting himself over despite this, I guess because of or in spite of this stupid, like, let me just, I hate the stupid dancing gimmick.
I do too. It's so dumb, but
we have two stupid dancing gimmicks, or we can't have three stupid dancing gimmicks.
Right.
He comes out with a hot babe, like, Tons of Funk has two hot babes.
Yeah, exactly.
Bring anything to the table here, Fandango.
I just love that Fandango's such a jerk. Like, the fact that he does the dance thing, but he's just an asshole about it, makes it funnier to me.
The thing, like, one thing he does is, like, he stays in character. Like, when he gets hit, he'll do the little twirl when he, like, goes down.
Right. It's just absurd. And, like, oh, because, you know, every once in a while, cartoon wrestling is not such a bad thing.
It's not, but then again, you know that a guy with, like, this kind of gimmick, he's inherently limited.
Yes.
He will never have a great run as long as he's doing this stupid dancer gimmick.
I agree, but there's also, like, and it would fit his gimmick really well if there's one time whenever he splits away from that character where it's some big dramatic montage where I'm going to hang up the boots. Yeah. I'm going to hang up my dancing salsa pants.
I'm going to get serious.
Yeah, and, like, he does it, and they do it like a three-week-long thing where he's struggling to find himself. Yeah, it's just fucking hilarious.
Hopefully there's montage music.
Yeah, like, I just treat it as what it is. But to be fair, on Raw the next night, they loved Fandango. And they sang that entire crowd. I'm going to give, like, I think the Hall of Fame for next year should be the New Jersey crowd. Yeah. Because they would just sing Fandango's theme over and over all night. No one could get any momentum in a match. Everyone was kind of looking around like, what the fuck is going on? And you could see everybody on TV just dancing away. And you're like, what is this?
Yeah, the crowd was not interested in what the company was putting out that night. Just fine. They were happy.
Yeah.
Exactly. One thing I do hope this thing ends with is Chris Jericho just beating crap out of him, saying, "You gotta drop the dancer shit, you idiot." It's like Chris Jericho should also be pissed off because, I mean, he's a rock and roll guy. He said he's Fandango is also like doing like stupid music thing. So Chris should be pissed off at that.
I'm surprised they didn't do a whole Dancing with the Stars bit.
Like, oh yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
you know what I mean, like dancer versus dancer type shit. But yeah. But, I mean, Chris Jericho can do whatever he wants. And I still have a lot of respect for Chris Jericho because he will come back, wrestle every single televised appearance. He won't be gone for 3 weeks. He won't do any of this other garbage. He's going to wrestle every single show.
Yeah.
He's going to put on a good match every single show.
Yep.
And then whenever he signs his contract and, okay, I'm going to be here for 6 months, he will wrestle every single show for 6 months.
Yeah. And he'll do whatever stupid thing that they ask for him. Like, sure. He'll put over Even Born. And, like, you don't even see Even Born again.
Right.
But,
Which is sad. I mean, he was good, too. But I think he was I hate to say he was a poor man's Tyson Kidd, but
Tyson Kidd was a poor man's Tyson Kidd. Yeah,
that's true. Let's see. What was the next match? Was this one the Jack Swagger?
Yeah, the next one was Alberto Del Rio versus Jack Swagger.
And I want to start off by saying that Zeb Coulter has balls of steel
for
going into New York and talking about how terrible immigrants are, because New York was born off of immigration.
Yeah, and like, yeah, you're definitely, yeah. But the thing is, I'm pretty sure Dutch Mantel could like beat the crap out of most anyone. Like, you, even at like his advanced age, he is dirty and crazy. Sure. So I'm pretty sure you take care of himself.
He was during the time of like the Blackjacks. To where these fucking guys literally would just, if you were doing the match wrong, they would kick you in the face. And, like, you would start bleeding everywhere. And you're like, what did I do?
And I'm pretty sure Dutch Mantel is, like, actually, like, had to fight his way out of a few little riots in the middle of the ring. Right. Like, so, yeah, he'd be all right.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, I mean, but Dutch is awesome. And I don't know. I don't know if it's just my extreme hatred for the Tea Party, but I hated the Jack Swagger bit. Like,
yeah.
I mean, but that was the point of it, is.
You know, the weird thing about this is, like, this entirely backfired on them. So, because the awful WWE audience, like, started cheering for Jack Swagger. Mm-hmm. Because it turns out, like, the WWE audience is largely comprised of idiot, like, Tea Party dudes.
Yeah, right, exactly. And they're like, oh.
Yeah, fuck this Mexican guy. Yeah, America, yeah. This exact same thing happened to them when they did JBL versus Rey Mysterio.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's like the crowd turning against Rey Mysterio because JBL is being a horrible racist, and it turns out the crowd is horrible racists.
Oh, that was such a good rivalry, though.
Yeah, like, I don't even remember this one. This was in WCW. They had the redneck group. Who was that?
Oh God, what were their names?
Something something rednecks. It was like Jeff. Yeah, they were just wasting enormous amount of time. Like, Jeff Jarrett was in it. Like, Mr. Perfect was in it. But they were going against these rapper dudes, these little real actual rappers. And WCW thought, oh, well, the crowd would cheer for the rappers, right? Not the horrible racist rednecks. No. The rappers got booed out of the building.
It's like any institution that puts Jeff Jarrett on top is going to be filled with idiots as fans. Yes. Like, period.
So you kind of expect that. It was West Texas Rednecks.
Well, there it is, yeah.
Yeah, I forget like the actual rapper and his posse they were going against, but it turns out your actual redneck crowd liked the rednecks, and it turns out your redneck WWF crowd likes Jack Swagger. So yeah.
And this rivalry, I don't know what it was. They put on decent matches, right? Mm-hmm. But I just never felt it. I just never felt this whole. I never got it. Like, it never quite clicked. I will say, I think it was not this past week's Raw, but the one before it, where Jack Swagger comes out to ambush. Alberto Del Rio did a super kick to Jack Swagger.
Yeah.
And I rewound it about 9 times because that you could hear that echo throughout the entire auditorium. And I'm like, he probably broke his face.
Like, yeah, that should be his finisher. Like, the arm bar is great, but, like, he's limited because there's some wrestlers who you just can't make submit. He should have that as his finish because that was really great.
That super kick is rough. Like, it's so well done. And I don't know who he inherited it from, but he can kick anybody and make it have that nice slap noise, like that nice just crack whenever you – and not everyone can do that. Daniel Bryan can do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Shawn Michaels could do it. But it's a very specific way you have to do it. It's probably in the technique. You probably have to hit with a certain part of your boot or something.
Do you think he's like just slapping his leg when he does the kick?
I don't know, man. He'd have to slap the shit out of his leg to get that type of it has to be some sort of slap. Like,
yeah.
Either he claps or something happens, because how could everyone else not be able to do it, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah, the big problem with this whole thing was, the whole feud in general, was that I just can't buy Alberto Del Rio as, like, a face.
Yeah, it got very, like, wink, nudge, let's look at the camera, haha, aren't I funny?
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, that was, like, basically, it's, like, just, like, Sheamus is, like, Irish Cena. Like, ADR was basically Mexican Sheamus.
Yeah, like, just, I mean, that's true. That's a good point.
Just goofy, happy dude who's just happy to be here. It's like, no, ADR, you're like, I just remember you a couple days ago. You were running over people with your car because you're an evil corporate asshole.
Yeah, you hit Santa Claus. Like,
yeah, you tried to kill Santa Claus at some point, dude. That wasn't too long ago.
Oh, man. And yeah, and I think heel Alberto Del Rio is fantastic, because he always has that type of energy in the ring anyway.
Yeah, because he's an asshole. You can tell, like, this is a natural asshole.
Yeah.
He's probably a terrible person in real life.
Right. But, yeah, let's see. I put Alberto Del Rio winning, and I can't even remember how the match ended. He won again, right?
Yeah, he won. Okay. Did you have him? Did you have Dolph cashing in afterward?
That's something I thought about while the show was going on. I was like, wait a minute. If they made the Team Hell No match last about 10 minutes, there has to be a reason.
Yeah. And it was really dumb, because, like, the only reason to hold onto that briefcase for so long is to cash in at WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I was like, okay, it's going to happen tonight. And then it didn't.
And yeah.
I'm trying to think, do you think it was planned to happen, but the fact that they already cut one match?
I don't think so. I think they're just clueless in a lot of things.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they just ran the exact same match the night afterward and had Dolph win.
Yeah, exactly, so, which is, I'm so stoked that he has that belt.
Yeah.
That actually changes that landscape. Yeah, one finally. It's like he's done so good for so long that he needed something.
Yeah. And after, like, he spent, like, the entire year losing to everyone on the roster, which is one of the big problems with it. So
he needs the belt, and I think now that he has the belt, he's actually going to start winning some pretty big matches.
I would hope so, because otherwise he's going to hold it for like a week, and that would be lame. Although that's exactly what they would do. They'd have him finally cash it in and then lose, like, in the rematch.
He'd lose it to Sheamus or something, and like, they'd give the belt to the people that nobody wants to have a belt with. Yeah. So let's see. There was that.
The next one was, now the next one began this, like, long string of, like, three, like, incredibly, like, long, grim, dark matches that just sucked the will to live out of the crowd.
Right.
And it started off with the best one, which is the big problem.
Because, yeah, the CM Punk Taker match is easily match of the night. Like, no question. And it's probably right now match of the year.
Yeah, it was that good. Because CM Punk had this amazing ability to make it look like he could beat The Undertaker a couple of times. You knew it wouldn't happen, but you could almost believe him doing it.
That's why I loved the Shawn Michaels Undertaker matches, because if anyone in the world could beat Taker, it'd be Shawn Michaels.
Right.
And, like, you had that in the back of your mind, and then whenever they would do all the fake reverses or the fake finishes or the, you know, all this, and they did it like 7 or 8 times in a row, it wasn't overkill, because you really didn't know, okay, is this the time he's going to do it, or is this the time he's going to do it, you know?
Yeah, it's like, okay, now he keeps taking these super kicks. Like, surely one of these super kicks has to kill him at some point.
It's going
to
end him. And then, but with CM Punk, he has such an innate ability to be able to read what his opponent is not only doing insofar as, like, a match psychology thing, but he's able to read the crowd.
Yeah.
Instantly, which is a gift that I don't think anyone else on that roster has, even Undertaker. I mean, Undertaker used to have it, but, I mean, he's just been gone for so long that he may not have it as much anymore.
Well, you know, it's a lot has to do with his mannerisms. Like, he can tell when, like, the crowd is about to churn, or, like, when cheering, he'll just do his go to sleep mannerism, just, like, really slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Or like when he's doing face, he'll also do it really slowly, but he'll be, like, behind them and nodding. But when he's, like, he's playing heel, he'll do it, like, I don't know how he does. He does the exact same motion, but somehow it's actually evil.
Right, exactly. Like, he has just this beautiful understanding of everything about the business, and that's why I thought this match. You know, I predicted it'd be match of the night, but I had no idea it would be that good, because like you said,
I didn't think Undertaker could still go that far.
He was like, good at the house show at the house show that I was at, he was strong. I could tell that he was still kind of ginger around his shoulder more than anything. Like, his hip seemed fine, but it was more his shoulder, so he kept, like, kind of rotating it and stuff like that whenever he was not tagged in. but he looked good. But I'll tell you, like, I was kind of nervous because you were the one that pointed out to me that CM Punk and Undertaker had a feud in, like, 2009.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very good because they didn't get along or just something didn't go right and they had a Hell in a Cell match.
There wasn't a lot of charisma there between them. But a lot of that was before, like, CM Punk was made to actually be a badass. Like, that hold on to the belt for so long. You actually believe, okay, CM Punk might actually be the best in the business.
Right. I think that he is right now. I mean, because he can play anything. He can play a face. He can play the best heel on earth.
And, oh, God, when he did the top rope walk like that, it's like, I can't believe he's doing this. It's such disrespectful. And you're thinking, surely Undertaker, like, they're not going to let him do it. They're not going to let him actually do it. And he does it, and it nearly kills the Undertaker.
Yeah, like, oh, no. Like, he's so good at just, oh, man, that whole match just had a great dynamic because you knew the Undertaker had it in him. You knew the Undertaker could win, but you didn't know if he was going to.
Yeah. The stalling thing was, like, you remember, like, the past two, like, WrestleMania series, wrestling Triple H.
Oh, yeah.
And those were decent. Like, I mean, they weren't amazing.
They were bad. I'll give them that.
Yeah. They certainly were as good as the Shawn Michaels ones. But then you take a look at the next match, and you realize Taker did all the damn work.
Yes, I agree.
Despite, like, only working, like, three times a year.
I totally agree. And I think the thing that ruined that Triple H Undertaker thing, especially the Hell in a Cell match, was the fact that Triple H would not shut up. During the whole match, Sean, count him out. Tell him it's over. It's like, you have a sledgehammer. You fucking pin him. Like,
there's like a little like dialogue between them. Like, Sean's like, don't use the hammer. He's like, I gotta use the hammer. It's the only thing that's gonna work. Like, I'm gonna take the hammer away from you. I'm gonna use the hammer.
What is going on here? Like, let a match happen.
Did you just make out or something? This is just ass.
I mean, the only good spot of the last year's Triple H Taker Hell in a Cell was whenever Shawn Michaels did the super kick to Taker. Because you're like, well, there it is. Like, that was the big fucking turn. And then he got up from it again, and you're like, oh, now it's the ball game. Like,
and at that point, you realize, well, nothing's going to kill the Taker because he just took like a bunch of pedigrees and a super kick.
Yeah.
What can you do aside from kill him? It's like shoot him in the head.
I mean, it's just
it wouldn't work.
but it was so good. CM Punk and Taker had such good chemistry in that match. And I can't remember, did
Punk try to do like a tombstone in that match? I think he tried to.
I think he did the little throat chop or the throat thing.
He did that.
He was setting up for it. Mm-hmm. And then I think the thing that impressed me the most is whenever Taker took the go to sleep, fell into the rope, then just picked up CM Punk immediately and tombstoned him out of nowhere.
Yes.
Didn't see it coming. And the whole crowd went crazy and he tried to go for the pin. CM Punk kicked out.
Yeah, that was an amazing sequence.
And then the ending, whenever he pries CM Punk backwards into the tombstone. I'd never seen that setup before either. And I was kind of upset that the match ended there, but I totally understand why.
I have no problem with CM Punk losing that match or losing weight.
Because the great thing about it is CM Punk didn't lose any heat.
No, of course not.
He didn't. People aren't going to dislike CM Punk. Now, hell, on Raw, they showed CM Punk's picture and that place fucking erupted.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah, but that's the great thing about CM Punk. Like, he can take any loss you want, and he always comes back.
He is very much like Jericho, like that. Like, Jericho can push anybody in the business, and it will work, you know?
Yeah, like, the next month he comes back and says, you know, I saw John Cena, we're going to fight. And you think, oh, Jericho could probably take this guy.
Yeah, so like I say, he's seen some shit, so this could be good. But then...
Oh, God, like, just imagine if, like, the Tons of Funk match was just right here, and you would...
It'd be such a good refresher. Like, it would be a palate cleanse...
Or like a Divas match. I don't like Divas matches, but just put a Divas match in here.
Give them 10 minutes. 10 minutes. That's all you need.
So the crowd wasn't thinking of this incredible fucking Undertaker match we're having. And then we're talking about the Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
What was your prediction? What was your prediction for that?
Triple H takes it because, of course, Triple H takes it. Like, how would Triple H lose? Here's
how Triple H loses. It's because they're paying Brock Lesnar like $1 million to wrestle the next month.
Right.
That's how. And like, it was, this whole setup was so stupid. There was no reason to make it a retirement match.
Yeah, well, and not only that, but, you know, my fiance brought up a good, but she hates Triple H, by the way. She despised it because she's still angry about Montreal. She's such a big Hart fan.
That's a good one.
All right. I totally agree. But the thing is, it's like, what would even the point be if Triple H couldn't wrestle anymore? He barely fucking wrestles as it is.
It's a good point. But he's brought out like twice a year when you like at SummerSlam and WrestleMania. You need like one like big main event thing.
Yeah.
So fine, bring him out.
Yeah, and it's but it's so weird. It's like, well, now that he won, now we're still not gonna see him except for twice a year.
Yeah, and meanwhile you have to have Brock Lesnar, like he has to like challenge somebody because you need somebody to challenge like Cena.
Yeah, and I mean, my idea, and I don't know how well it would go, is give Brock Lesnar Mark Henry. Give Brock Lesnar another big guy. Give him Ryback. Give him something.
Well, my idea was like have like Brock Lesnar win this match, have Punk lose his match, and then Heyman realizes, oh, Pick's probably done, and just have Lesnar kill CM Punk. And then you set up a feud there. Like, CM Punk would still die because it's Brock Lesnar, but it would be great.
That's what I was thinking of. Like, that had to be a big... That could be the Paul Heyman turn.
Yeah.
It's like you see where Paul Heyman's alliance lies. And then not only that, but yeah, if CM Punk gets screwed by both Heyman and Brock Lesnar, then CM Punk is pissed. And a pissed CM Punk is the best CM Punk on the planet.
Yeah, and that's like instant face turn for me. You come back, you'd be huge. And then you have two big faces again in the company.
Yeah, and I think it's brilliant because Brock Lesnar is never going to be a face, ever.
No. Well, he only wrestled like four times a year.
Yeah, and just like his UFC fights. But
this match was just so bad because it was so slow.
It started off great. I want to say it started off great because Brock Lesnar pushed the pace, and it was a fucking fast fight for a while. Like I think he did like 7 overhead suplexes.
Yeah.
He did like 2 reverse German suplex or release German suplexes, which are probably my favorite move in all wrestling.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So as he was doing all these suplexes, I was like, oh man, if they prop up Brock Lesnar to be like a mix of Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle, I'm gonna lose my shit. Oh, this is gonna be great. And then.
You can believe that because this is the MMA guy. Sure, yep. He has a ton of suplexes. This makes perfect sense.
He can put you in submissions. He can put you in grapples. Like, make him a steroided up Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, sure.
And Triple H sucked the energy out of that, not only of the match, but the room.
He did, and like the ending was just confounding because they were fighting for that stupid Kimura for like half an hour.
Ugh.
And you think, like, okay, we know Brock Lesnar. He is a former UFC champion. He's an MMA guy. He should have, like, an instant counter for the Kimura.
Is that his fucking move, you would think?
Yes, this is bullshit. Get the hell off me, Triple H. But no, he sits there, takes the Kimura, like, 3 different times because he won't move his damn arm. Like, he breaks it, but he stays in the same position. Triple H is like, hey, there's his arm again. I'll just try to break it again.
So dumb. And then it was a pedigree on the steps, and then that was it. And
yeah, which was dumb on Brock's part because I could see it happening once he brought the steps in because that's exactly how he lost to Cena. Like, Cena just did his finisher on the steps. Yeah. This is the only way he can kill Brock.
I guess, yeah, he's allergic to steps.
But it's just – Brock isn't very – like, Brock is good, like, very limited. Like, certainly not in 23 minutes. You need to keep him, like, in 10 minutes where you can just go out and murder the dude.
He's a rampage wrestler, which is the same thing Ryback is.
Yeah, like, and that, or the same thing as like, or Henry, but it was obvious that because there was one point near the beginning of the match where Brock was like on the barricade and like Triple H like clotheslined him off the barricade, and instead of like taking the fall correctly like, on his back, like Brock just landed directly on his own neck.
Oh yeah.
And I just thought, oh my God, Brock Lesnar's paralyzed. But no, he's just an asshole. He doesn't know how to take a hit.
Right, or maybe he does. I mean, the weird thing was, it was like 2 or 3 Raws ago, whenever Triple H came out where it looked like he pissed his pants.
Yeah.
And then the thing is, he threw Brock Lesnar into the metal railing, right?
Yes.
Or into the turnbuckle. Into
the turnbuckle, yeah.
And the thing is, he literally headbutted that turnbuckle.
Yeah, Brock didn't. I don't know if it's just because he doesn't wrestle, but like 3 times a year and doesn't do house shows or anything. So maybe he just doesn't. Or is he just so stupid that he thinks he needs to take these moves full force?
Right. Or is he so big?
Yeah.
He's just so big he can handle it. And he's like, sure, I'll bust my face open. And you're like, holy shit. Like, this guy's nuts.
This guy's a hemophiliac. This thing's bleeding all over the joint.
it's just crazy. But like, that's why I like watching Brock Lesnar is I'm not necessarily a fan of him in WWE, but I'm a fan of him because he's making these people take some vicious hits.
Yeah.
And
when you see him, you're going to see something brutal and terrifying. And you look back on it and say, well, that probably shortened that guy's career by about 5 years, but that was really fucking cool when you
see Yeah, exactly.
Now, one thing that disappoints me, like in history, is that we never saw a Brock Lesnar versus Rex, Scott Steiner match, because that would just be like 50,000 suplexes.
Yeah, Big Pop, Pop is just flexing, and then
it's like suplex, then get up, another suplex, and then the winner of the match is whoever can't get up after the last suplex.
That'd be great. I would watch that shit forever. But oh, and then arguably the worst main event I've ever seen in WrestleMania. And that's not even an exaggeration. I'm trying to think. There was one other one.
It was just as bad.
I think it was the one that The Miz won.
Well, if you're talking about recent history, it was pretty bad. At least The Miz was kind of interesting because they had a good finish where The Miz actually won.
Yeah.
But there was a main event between like ages ago between Sid and The Undertaker. That was bad.
Yeah.
Because Psycho Sid can't move at the best of his years, and Undertaker wasn't great back then. That was bad.
And I think, wasn't there I don't want to say Brock Lesnar Goldberg.
There was, but that wasn't a main event. That was awful because both guys knew they were leaving. That was their last match.
Oh, that's right.
Gave a shit, and the crowd knew that they were leaving, and they didn't give a shit, and the crowd just turned on them.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. But, like, I think some of the same stuff that plagued the Triple H Brock Lesnar match plagued the main event, and it's because the ending went on for about 30 minutes.
It did, and they kept trying to reverse like from the attitude adjustment now.
It was so bad because the biggest critique of John Cena and The Rock are both that they each have 5 moves.
Yeah.
So what better way to showcase than for them to do their 5 moves over and over?
And it's worse because they both came off like really strong Punk matches, because Punk always does something new in his matches.
Yes.
Like the last like Cena match he had, he got yelled at because he did like a pile driver.
An actual pile driver, which I stood up and applauded. I was like
like an old school like Memphis pile driver, like Jerry Lawler would do, not this bullshit tombstone.
Yeah, like a Terry Funk. Yeah. Just fucking grab your ass and plug your face into the mat.
Like, Punk doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, so good.
But like, and they kept like fighting for that finish, but there was the same finish that they did like a year ago.
Yes.
You know, where Cena would do that, you can't see me, and then like he got caught. But oh, they're going to be very clever about this year, and this time Cena knows the counter for it. Oh, but no, The Rock knows the counter for the counter.
Yeah, it just got out of control. And it really was like, 4 minutes of them going, I'm going to do my attitude adjustment. Well, I'm going to do my rock bottom. And basically, they kept doing it over and over and over and over. And I'm like, what is going on here?
It's like Rock was just completely blown up like 5 minutes into the fight. Again, because he doesn't do house shows. Like he's done 3 matches, 2 of them against CM Punk, who's the best ever, and 1 against like Cena, who's good, but he needs someone like to be carryable. Like he can't do it himself.
I agree. And I mean, and I'd like for us, you know, as we're kind of wrapping this up, because that was all the matches at WrestleMania. And then at Raw, they kind of pivoted right back to go against Cena.
But with just one thing about the crowd for that match, the Orton-Sheamus match, awful match, but just fucking incredible because the crowd just kept giving them shit. Just chanting.
It's so good. That's what I love. Because, I mean, you live in New York.
Yeah,
and you know, New York, New Jersey, I love watching any sort of competitive anything there because you guys tell the fucking truth. Like, it doesn't matter if what they're doing, they're trying so hard. If they're terrible, they're going to know that they're terrible.
And it's the entire crowd just in unison at one. It's not like you take the thing, it's like taking a show to Kansas City and people in Kansas City are like, oh, this is pretty great. We're happy to have the WWE here.
Yeah, right.
A lot of shit happens here. Everything happens in New York City. You don't give a shit.
Yeah. Like, it's like, if you're not fucking impressing me, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminded me, because Miami is the same way.
Yeah.
And, you know, Miami, you know, everyone basically went there to retire, so they got shit to do. You know what I mean? Like, I could be out on a yacht right now. You're wasting my fucking time.
Yeah.
So that's why the Miami crowd on last year's post-WrestleMania Raw was so good, because once again, they would cheer for the people that got screwed over at WrestleMania. But if, like, Randy Orton, like, whenever, I remember Sheamus coming out and they booed him out of the building.
Yeah.
You know, and just, I love it. I love the energy. I wish every Raw was like that.
You know, it's going to suck next year is like the Raw afterwards because it's in New Orleans. So it's just going to be tourists.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, which is upsetting. And I mean, oddly enough, fiance has family in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
So I'm kind of tempted to save up right now and get some WrestleMania tickets, because the rumor is And I mean, there's nothing to justify this rumor, but rumor is this will be Taker's last WrestleMania.
Yeah, I imagine it probably would be, like, because they never mentioned this being it. Like, if he's going to have a last WrestleMania, they'll build it up to being his last WrestleMania. And it might as well be at 30.
I think so, and I think it'd be good to do it that way. And okay, two questions. One, who would you like to see wrestle Taker for his last match?
I think there's only like one guy left in the company that you would really trust it with, because I mean, you can't do it to Sean because, you know, he's retired. He doesn't want to come back. And they already did it twice. You can't do it Triple H again because, you know, they already did it twice, right? And Taker kills him every single time. There's only one guy left in the company, and it's Cena. And you might not like Cena, but he's the only believable guy left that can take him out.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, part of me, like, I think Cena is the rational choice. I think it's the choice that makes the most sense.
He can have a good match with
yeah, Undertaker. I agree. And it'll get a lot of eyes on it. That's what they really want, right? But my fanboy dream is to somehow make it be against Kane.
Yeah, you think that's the only problem is that'd be the third time they ran Kane Taker.
Yeah, so. And I agree. But here's the thing. This would be the interesting part. Yeah. How many more years does Kane have left?
I don't know. He's pretty safe. You know,
I think so. With Team Hell No, especially, yeah.
Yeah, because he's wrestling tag teams. I think he probably had like 5 good years if he's just a tag guy.
Yeah, because I mean, my kind of dream match would be, how great would it be if it was both of their retirement match? Like let's just go to hell and back, and let's do this thing. You know,
I think if Kane would have a retirement match, I would hope it would be against Daniel Bryan though.
Oh, that'd be wicked. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but it needs to be someone who, like, I love Kane too, but he's not really on that upper echelon level. The thing that I'm afraid of that they would do would be The Rock.
Yeah, because The Rock and Taker don't work well together. They did back in Attitude Era. Back in Attitude Era, when both of them did house shows every single day, they worked really well together.
Yeah, The Rock, when he was at his best, he was great.
Yeah.
But also be an issue where, like, they would have, that would be like the one match both of them would wrestle the year. So
right, exactly. Like, you would build it up and they do interviews, but The Rock would never be on Raw, so Taker could never call him out. I think Cena makes the most sense. And while we're on that, my second question was, do you think, this is kind of a weird question, I think you probably know what I'm going to ask. I really don't want a Cena heel turn, because I don't think that would work.
Okay.
What do they need to do with Cena in order to get him to where he's not literally booed out of the building every week?
I don't know if there's any, because, I mean, the way they do, like, their faces, like, they're all the same guy. It's all, like I said, it's variations of Cena, unless it's CM Punk. Like, the thing is, like, Cena can't have an edge to him because it doesn't make any sense. He can't be Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's never going to be that guy.
Right.
He's never going to be CM Punk. It's like he's always going to be that goofy guy. I don't think there's anything you can do with him aside from turning him, to be frank. I don't know if there's a better plan for it.
Because what was so great and what my prediction was for the Rock Cena match is what I wanted to happen, because here's the thing. The Rock is signed on until Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
What I wanted
to happen, got hurt, though, so he might not be back. So he got hurt.
Which is shitty. But my plan and the way I mapped it out is, I was like, okay, have Cena lose at WrestleMania. And the reason why, he's talked all year about, oh, I'm, you know, I'm my path of redemption. Have him lose and fucking snap.
Yes.
Have him be like, I hate you, Rock. Rock, you are I despise every fiber of your being. I'm going to hit you with this chair. I'm going to do all this stuff.
Same turn, yeah.
Yeah, and it wouldn't necessarily be Cena is now a bad guy turn, but it would be Cena is so pissed at his situation that he snaps. And then have him win it at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, you know how you could do it is, I don't remember if you remember how Sting turned into Crow Sting.
Yeah.
But you just have somebody just betray Cena so badly that he just like has a mental breakdown, and like you don't see him a while, and when he comes back, he's just obviously a different guy, and he's just out for revenge.
Oh, it'd be so good. Like, I think Cena could pull it off, because here's the thing. Cena's not a bad wrestler.
He's a good wrestler. He's really he is a good talent. He's probably actually a good human being. It's just like the way he's booked is just fucking
crazy. It's just bad because he answers all the problems. It's kind of it's kind of Superman syndrome, right? Yeah. Because it's like, well, who's going to kill Superman, or who's going to even beat Superman? Nobody can, because guess
what? You got to invent somebody. So
And like, sure, the Ryback push. The only thing that I'm kind of upset about Ryback and John Cena, it's excuse me, it's going to add to the flavor a little bit. But yeah. We know for a fact, if Ryback wins it, he's just going to lose it again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he can't hold on to it for very long, seeing as he's just going to like, turn around and win it the next month.
And, I mean, there's so many small things that drive me crazy about John Cena. It's yeah. like, every time he loses a match, he snaps and then puts him through the attitude adjustment and then does the little, you know. Yeah. He gets this little crybaby attitude about it for 10 seconds.
Weird. Which is weird because like he's supposed to be a face, he's supposed to like be virtuous,
yeah,
and stuff. But no, he gets pouty and like when he doesn't get his way, or like when you do beat him, he just starts just grinning. It's like, you didn't really do anything to me. Hurt.
Yeah, I'm still gonna sell a shit ton of t-shirts. Yeah, it's
yep. With the same thing like after like he beat like Brock, like that was supposed to be like something where like Brock just like put him through hell, like Cena should be dead, and Cena gets up, he's just like smiling to the crowd, like, hey, how you doing, everybody? Yeah. That didn't do anything to me.
Just terrible. Like they need, but I mean, who's gonna on the writing staff be like, well, John, you need to fix this. Like, what does John Cena have to fix?
I think he would do. That's the thing. He would do anything they ask of him, but I don't know like if there's anyone in the company who's willing to do what it take.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I mean, it's just a weird conundrum to be in because, yeah, John Cena definitely has the clout and he has the ability to still carry the company, which, yeah. I mean, he should. In my opinion, he should.
Yeah, it's just like we don't talk about it, but, like, he's been around for a long while.
Yes.
So there's the question, like, how many years can he possibly have left? Like, right. Maybe he only has, like, 3 years left. Maybe he's, like, 5. But, like, if it happens, they don't have a second guy.
Right.
Like,
I mean,
he can turn Punk, but Punk, he wants to retire soon, too.
Yeah, but, and I mean, and the. To be fair to Punk is always best whenever he's hungry, whenever he doesn't have the belt, and he wants that belt. Like, whenever he had the belt.
Pissed off.
Yeah, exactly. Whenever he had the belt, and I still think the best match of last year besides the Chris Jericho CM Punk match was the champion versus champion match on Raw between Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. That blew my ass away. I knew it was going to be good because I have, like, Ring of Honor DVDs where both of them fight, but, like, it was so good, and I was like, oh, please make this a thing. Please make it a thing. And, you know, I think that'd be a good catalyst for Daniel Bryan to get the belt. Dolph Ziggler, I want him to hold this World Heavyweight Championship for a long time.
He needs to, but, yeah, at the same point. Like, if he's just a chicken shit heel where, like, he just keeps winning by cheating and stuff, I would be behind that.
Yeah.
Because, like, the Honky Tonk Man back in the day.
Right, exactly. And, like, even, you know, like, Rick Rude would do it.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, you got some classic guys that would do this. And, you know, to be fair, I think that Dolph can work very well with anybody, but you can also start pushing people. Like, okay, Kofi Kingston versus Dolph Ziggler was, I think, the most wrestled match of the past, like, 6 years.
Yeah.
Because they wrestled every single house show. They know each other. They can literally wrestle blindfolded. And, you know, give someone like Kofi a little push towards the belt. Sure, he might not win it.
I think Kofi's probably, like, they screwed with Kofi so much, he's probably a snake, but I don't think they can really use him.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, just really anybody. I mean, you could put
R-Truth. Like, use R-Truth. There you go.
Yes, yeah. R-Truth. I mean, Ron Killings is phenomenal.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, he's an old crazy dude.
Right? Like, I always put it this way because my fiance hates Booker T. Hates him. And I'm like, the thing I kind of like about Booker T is he is what would happen if R-Truth was a businessman.
Yeah.
Like, he's just dumb enough, like, just crazy enough to think he's awesome. Like, I think the best thing about Booker T is the fact that he inducted himself into the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
So he did that. Whenever they did the little promo video for Booker T's getting inducted, he was the only one that was talking about Booker T. No one else was on that video. Everyone else had, like, 7 people to be like, oh, I really respect Bruno Sammartino. His video comes on, and it's Booker going, you know, I just did what I had to do. And you're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
That Booker's awesome.
He's just so insane. Like, part of me loves it to death. But Ron Killings has so much talent. And, I mean, to be fair, like, people like Zack Ryder need to be on TV more. I mean, there's all these. They're almost running into you have kind of your lower mid card.
Yeah.
But literally everybody is in the lower mid card.
And then like they keep fighting each other and like beating each other and like losing. Can no one get over because like no one's like allowed to like win more than one match.
Yeah.
So like Cesaro, he's great. He's the future of the company, but like he's losing every single night, but he's still holding onto his belt.
Which is, it's upsetting. I mean, I'm thankful he still has it. And hell, did you see, apparently Cesaro and Vince are not getting along or something right now. That's some dirt sheet stuff that I read. But it was really funny for that very reason on the the press conference for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
CM Punk came out with an Antonio Cesaro shirt on.
That was great. Yeah, he knows the deal.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Cesaro's like the future, man. Last year he brought out a Colt Cabana shirt.
Yeah.
You know, which is super great. But yeah, man, like I don't know where I think they're kind of in limbo right now. WWE is a company. I think they're in this weird situation to where they need to try to dabble a little bit here and a little bit there to, okay, now Ryback's going to go for the belt, you know.
Well, they don't build anybody, which is the big problem. Like last year, they spent a lot of time, a lot of effort building up Punk. And now you can literally believe Punk has a shot at beating Undertaker at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. But they spent a lot of time, a lot of effort building him up. They won't do that. It's like The Miz shows up in like the pre-show against Wade Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
Before WrestleMania, and like 2 years ago, he was in the main event. So all that time you spent building up The Miz is completely wasted.
Yeah, yeah, and it,
like you won't build. Like, don't get me wrong, Miz isn't great. I don't like Miz, but you spent a ton of time and a ton of effort, and now you're doing nothing with him.
Yeah, like, and that, which is just almost sacrilege, because it's like, where are you wasting everyone's time?
Yeah,
and that's what really worries me about. You know, I hope that the guys right now, like Antonio, like Daniel Bryan, like, you know, the guys that are getting good runs right now, I hope they go more of the way of Chris Jericho and less like The Miz. Because it would be great if they did take a break for a little bit but came back, they would get huge applause, they could push anybody in the business. You know, I want them to be respected, basically. Yeah. Because, to be fair, I hate The Miz, but he's not respected. You can tell he's not respected by the company he works for.
Yeah.
And it's upsetting.
It's not his fault. I mean, he did everything they asked of him.
Exactly.
You know, he's a limited talent, but they knew that. Yeah. But you take a look at like the last three matches of like they had WrestleMania. It's like Undertaker, Punk, like Triple H and Brock and Cena and The Rock. It's like four of those six guys wrestle like twice a year.
Yeah, they're part-timers.
And like they're at the top of the card. Meanwhile, like Alberto Del Rio and Jack Swagger, who are going to stay with your company for like 10 years, they're getting nothing. So they're not building anything.
Yeah. And they need to. They need to pivot. Yeah. And I think this thing about – this is why The Shield is working so well, I think, is because here's a way you pivot three guys all at the same time.
Right.
And
hopefully they just won't forget about him and just like have him start just losing constantly.
Like jobbing to three-man band or something. Yeah. And like – because Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins lit NXT on fire. Yeah. Like those guys were so effing good.
Like Dean Ambrose, he should be like in – 5 years, he should be running the damn show.
I agree.
And he should be the top of it. I mean,
he should be. I could see, because CM Punk Dean Ambrose was a rivalry for a long time, and it was a great rivalry.
Yeah, like can you just imagine seeing the Dean Ambrose like Daniel Bryan matches? That'd be fucking amazing.
Yeah, Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler. Like, come on, make it happen. You know what I mean? Like, let this happen. I mean, Roman Reigns, he's so big physically, he's so imposing that he's not going anywhere. Yeah. You know, he's basically their Kevin Nash now.
Yeah.
And but with talent. I mean, Kevin Nash is a smart guy. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, don't talk shit about Kevin Nash. I mean, he has great stories.
Yes.
He has three moves in his entire career. But God, he's just a great, great person.
He's a good businessman. He's hilarious on the mic. Like, he understands the business. Like, so don't think I'm hating on Kevin Nash. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's Roman Reigns, right? Yeah. Roman Reigns has the ability. He has a chutzpah. Yeah. He's going to be out there. He can do fantastic things. They just need to position him well.
But you don't know if he has that same charisma. I mean, that's the big thing about it. It's like,
Ryback,
he's not an amazing worker, but he has, like, charisma. Like,
yes, he does.
People want to be behind this guy killing people.
Yeah. And I mean, whenever we saw Ryback live last year, because we were at the Raw whenever Brock Lesnar broke Shawn Michaels' arm.
Okay. Like,
that's the one we were at. So, you know, Ryback came out, and this is before the Feed Me More chance really started.
Right.
And, like, we saw him, and he wrestled, I think he wrestled R-Truth and somebody else. And it was a good match. It wasn't even a squash match. It was just a nice, solid match. And, like, afterwards, I was like, you know what? Ryback's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be fine. Sure, he might be a little limited right now, but the more he gets in the ring with people better than him, he's going to grow as a talent.
He's going to get better.
Yeah. And, you know, so I think Ryback is in, and like we said before, you know, he was thrust in the position he's in whenever he wasn't quite ready, but now he's getting to the point to where he's learning and he's understanding it, and he's kind of embracing it now. Yeah. So he has a good future.
Yeah. It's just kind of hilarious. Like he does this horrible thing. He turns his back on John Cena, and the crowd is just cheers him on. Kill John Cena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it works because John Cena is an anomaly because he's the biggest face of the company that gets the loudest heel reactions, right? Like the fans boo him like he's Rowdy Roddy Piper. You know, so there's this weird anomaly. So how do you get someone, you get Ryback, who's basically, he's kind of that anti-hero, right? He's someone who's not a face, but he's not a heel. But then if he goes against Cena, he's instantly a fan favorite.
Right.
You know, so that's a way you could have Cena push people. It's like, well, people hate Cena, even though he's really good. And, you know, he's a good guy with a big smile on his face. So the kids still buy his T-shirts and they still make the money. But then whoever they pit Cena against is going to be a rock star, you know, and it's just a really bizarre time in the business, because whoever thought you would have that? I mean, the only other time I could think of having that type of dynamic was whenever Goldberg came with the finger poke of doom.
Yeah, well, that's the big problem with the company is, like, if Cena does get hurt or whatever, they're kind of screwed.
I agree.
They don't have a second guy.
Yeah.
It's like even Hogan wasn't this bad. I mean, if you put like Hogan in a match with like Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston and AJ, he would probably still lose that match, especially if it's like a cage match.
Sure.
But it's like, no, Cena beats all three of them.
In a cage.
In a cage. Where he doesn't have to even be pinned. Like Ziggler could just run out and people would say, oh my God, you coward, you ran. No, Cena just makes chumps out of all of them. So Hogan wouldn't have done that.
Hogan knew when to job, you know, but the thing is, I don't think Cena knows when to job. I think he did it. I think he
would do it. The company doesn't know when to do it. Like he would do it.
That's true.
There's never been reports of him being like that diva type who just, cause Hogan would do that. There would just be some people you refuse a job against.
Yeah. I mean, Shawn Michaels did it to Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels is like, I'm not going to lose to him.
Yeah.
And that's what pissed me off.
That's the wrong way around. By the way around. Bret wouldn't job to Sean. That's what created Montreal.
I think he wouldn't job to him.
Well, there was that Iron Man match. I don't remember at WrestleMania. Neither one of them would like job to the other one for the entire fucking hour.
Right. I think they planned that because have you seen the that Rivalries DVD that they put out? Sean versus Bret? Because they talk about that match. And what I did not realize is they plan that match down to the minute.
Oh, yeah.
Like, which is just staggering to think about, because they were like, okay, at the very last deal, you know, Bret was like, at the very last deal, I'm going to get to the top rope and it'll hit 55 minutes. And he said he looked up at the thing whenever he went up to the, he was on the top rope and he looked up at the clock to see what it said. And it said 54 minutes and 59 seconds.
Nicely done.
They had it down to the second. And I was like, these guys are the fucking best. Like, wow.
It's a shame they hated each other. So
I mean, it made good TV, I think that's it for this week, or this month rather.
This month, if you people like it, let us know. We'll do another one for the next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
We probably won't get into TNA much because, like, as we said, TNA is depressing.
I mean, there's so much talent there. If you want to go on YouTube and look at the old X Division from TNA, go do that.
Yeah. I'm not particularly interested in looking at Kurt Angle finally break his neck and paralyze himself.
Yeah, I'm really worried about that. I'm glad that he's tag team with Samoa Joe. But other than that, nah. You know what I mean? Like, they just need to.
Yeah.
It's a pretty decent little WrestleMania. I think it kind of drug a few ways, but then Raw made up for it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Raw moved everything.
Yeah. But kind of set the stage. We'll see actually what happens whenever Extreme Rules hits. And that should be
interesting. Yep.
But thank you so much, Mark.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
It's always fun to talk shop. And tell us if you guys like it, if you guys dig it. It'll be on the Power Hour feed, so it should update automatically on the Power Hour iTunes link. But until next time, we will see you guys later. Come along, there's gonna be a beat down.